world coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ, because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning, good morning, good morning to all of you out there in radio land. Thank you so kindly for tuning in this morning to the Situation Room. This program would not be a success if it was not for your listenership. So thank you so kindly for tuning in this morning. This morning we have a wonderful program for you. This morning is our day that we answer Bible questions. And so we have some Bible questions this morning that we want to answer this morning, give you the answer to the question, to the problem. But before we do that, let me give you an email address if you want to email me with a Bible question, or if you have a marriage question, or if you have a question as it relates to the Christian life. You can email me at BibleWayIrving@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrving@gmail.com. Or you can call me at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. And you can just leave it on the voicemail. All right, and we'll do our best to answer your questions and get them on in this Situation Room. All right, let me get my Bible and we'll go ahead and answer some questions this morning. All right, first question: where does the Bible teaches the rapture of the church, and when will it occur? All right, basically that's one question that leaded into another question. Where does the Bible teach the rapture of the church, and when will it occur? Well, there's several places that it teaches it. Probably the best place is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 17 is the key verse. Verse 13 through 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let me just read the context of it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse number 13 through 18, and it reads like this: But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, or precede them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, that's the key word right there, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with the word, these words. All right, verse number 17, as I say, is the key verse that teaches the rapture. It says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. That word for caught up is the Latin word rapture. It is the Latin word, basically. The word rapture come from the Latin translation of the Greek word caught up. So to be raptured then is a state or experience of being carried away. The Latin word rapto means to seize or snatch in relation to spirit, to snatch away one's spirit, or to snatch away one's body, being carried away from one place to the next. Remember, over in the book of Acts, I believe it's Acts chapter 8, when Philip had was witnessing in the desert there to this Ethiopian eunuch. And after Philip had finished witnessing to him and had baptized him, the Bible said that the Spirit snatched him away and took him somewhere else. Well, basically, he was raptured away. He was snatched away and took somewhere else. And that's what will happen one day with the church. Jesus is going to come back. As a matter of fact, that's dealing with the second part of this question. Where does the Bible teach the rapture of the church? And then, when will it occur? Well, it'll occur at the return of Christ. Verse number 16, it says, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So Jesus is going to return. The rapture of the church will occur when Jesus come back to get his church. And that will be done secretly. We don't know the time or the hour of when that's going to happen. It could happen at any time right now. You just got to be ready, so that when Jesus come back, because he's coming back for those that believe in him. So he's coming back for his church. And he's coming back for the saints that have died in Christ, that are members of the church. And they will be, their bodies will be resurrected when Jesus come back, because that's what he's talking about here when it says for verse number 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And so he's going to bring those dead saints, their spirits They're going to come down from heaven with Jesus. But then their bodies is going to be raised up from the dead. Because the Bible says in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. So there's going to be a resurrection at the rapture. Those who have died in Christ, they're going to come back with Jesus. Their spirit's going to come back with Jesus. And their bodies, Jesus is going to blow the trumpet. And their bodies, he's going to have the voice of an archangel. And it's going to sound like a trumpet. And they're going to have a reunion. They will be reunited. Their bodies and spirit will be reunited. And then the Bible says, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. And then those who are alive, who have not died, take for instance, if Jesus came back today, those who are dead in Christ, they're going to be resurrected. They're going to have a resurrection, and their bodies and spirit will reunite. And then we will be changed just like that. And we will be caught up together with them in the air. Now, let me show you that in the scriptures, because they ask for some more scriptures. Now, one scripture that we often overlook is John 14. John 14, 1 and 3 is really dealing with a rapture, or the rapture of the church. Because Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house is many mansions. I go there to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'm coming again to receive you unto myself, and where I am, there ye may be also. So Jesus tells us right there, I will come again, and I'll receive you to myself. So he says, I'm coming back. So he announced right there that he was coming back. He was coming back. Even when Jesus left, he made mention that he was coming back. But let me get the scripture about another scripture on the rapture. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse number 51. Jesus says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on the incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on the incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that deals with the rapture right there. We see the resurrection of the church, as well as we see the rapture of those living saints. The scripture says it's a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We're going to all be changed. We're going to all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. See, if Jesus came back right today, We were just banished just like that. The rapture would occur just like that. You know, some people are going to be walking down streets and things, and Jesus is going to rapture them up because they are saved. They're saved. They're going to go back with Jesus. They're going to vanish just like that. People going to be working in offices. They're going to be vanishing just like that. People going to be even riding trains and planes and bus. Can't you imagine somebody them riding on an airplane and the rapture occur and that pilot and co-pilot, the airline crew is saved and all of them are raptured? And just think, those folks who are not saved, they're going to be on that plane. You're going to have all kind of plane crashes. You'll have train crashes. You're going to have all kinds of just crazy stuff going on. I mean, you're going to have people driving out there on the freeway, and people are going to be getting raptured. So the driver going to be gone, but the car is going to still be going down the highway. Isn't that something? That's going to be the rapture of the church. And so it's going to be a secret snatching away of the church. And Jesus is going to take us home to be with the Lord. And see, the thing about the rapture, there's going to be a reunion that follows the rapture. Because it tells us back over here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So we're going to see our loved ones. If your mama have died and she know Jesus, you're going to see her again. You're going to meet her in the cloud. You're going to meet your daddy that was dead. You'll meet him in the cloud. Your sister, your brothers, if they know Jesus, you'll meet them again in the clouds. Your grandmama, your granddaddy, you'll meet them again in the clouds. And so it's going to be not only just a rapture, it's going to be a reunion. It's going to be a big family reunion there in the cloud. The scripture said we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we shall ever be with the Lord. It says, comfort one another with these words. Ooh, isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? It's going to be a big family reunion at that rapture. And there's going to be nothing but howdy, howdy. There'll never again be another goodbye. Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that rapture of the church. All right. So hopefully that helped you on the where does the Bible teach about the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 13 through 18 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 51 through 58. And if you want to throw in John 14, the first three verses, you can even throw that in as well. All right. Let me move on to the next question right quick. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Oh, very good question. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, it is when the Holy Spirit saves a person and places that person into the body of Christ. That's what we're talking about when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, see, the problem is many people confuse the baptism of the Holy Spirit with a lot of other things. People sometimes get the Spirit baptism confused with water baptism. But the ministry of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was predicted by John the Baptist. Matter of fact, let me just turn over there. That was in Matthew chapter 3. Over in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist predicted that there would be a spirit baptism, not just water baptism. Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse number 11, John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So there is a such thing as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, that word baptism it means to immerse into, a place into, a place under. Stay right with this text here, because John says, he says, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, you get one or the other. You get that Jesus is going to either baptize you with the Holy Ghost, or you going to get baptized with the fire. And he says, whose fan is in the hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the shaft with unquenchable fire. And so Jesus is going to place the wheat into the barn, a safe place. But the shaft is going to be placed into the fire. The Holy Spirit is going to place, when you get saved, he places you in the body of Christ. That's like being placed like in the barn or in the body of Christ. And the unsaved person is going to be placed in the fire. They're going to be placed in the lake of fire. So you can use that analogy of the being placed or being joined into. But let me just turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because this is the clearest place that it teaches about spirit baptisms. Because a lot of people think that spirit baptism they get it confused with water. Some they get it confused with speaking in tongues, and some call that the second blessing, that you can be saved but you hadn't been baptized with the Holy Spirit. No. The moment that you are saved, you are placed in the body of Christ. Now let me show you that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Bible says, verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. By the manifestation, listen to this now, by the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. We're talking about Christians. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirit, to another diversity kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The Holy Spirit not only places you in the body of Christ, but he gives you a gift. He gives you a gift to use for the body of Christ. Just like he named some of these gifts. Some got the gift of healing. Some got the gift of miracles, prophecy, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. All of it was given by the same Spirit. For as the body is one and has many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Here it is, verse 13, it's a key verse. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be the Jews, the Gentiles, whether we be born or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. There it is right there. The Holy Spirit baptized us. He unites us. He placed us in one body. It says, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, behold, I am not the eye, am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So, in other words, just like when God formed your body, he put eyes in there, ears, nose, he put tongue, he put legs, arms, he put it all. God has designed your body, and everybody in the body or every member in the body is different based on their function. The eyes can't say, you know, that I'm no good because I'm not the foot. The hand can't say I'm better than you because, you know, I'm the hand and you just the legs. No. God has given us a special place in the body. And when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, God places you in the body. You may be the arm in the body. You may be the leg in the body. You may be the eyes of the body. You may be the ears in the body. But God has given you a gift to place in the body that he can use you to serve the body of Christ. And it occurred at one time and one time only. Once you are in the body, you can't do anything to get out of that body. All right. Well, look like the clock on the wall is saying that's going to be just about all for us today. Hopefully we have helped you with those Bible questions. Thank you so kindly today for tuning in to the Situation Room. Let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember our format here, KLITB, it's at the top of the hour. We minister in the Word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. It's music and a whole lot more. So at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Wonderful church right here in Irving, Texas. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book, let you listen to a portion of a Wednesday night Bible study. We have folks who are not even members of our church who love our Wednesday night Bible study. So listen to a deeper look in the book at 11 o'clock. Then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, guess what? We began to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.